When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, my name is Pete Ellison. This is Dave Cribb.
Hello, and we do a podcast called Friends with Friends, as you might have guessed from the music that's playing underneath, which is a sort of lo-fi rendition of the Friends theme tune for rights reasons. We get a different guest on every week on our podcast to talk about their favourite episode of Friends.
And we look through it in excruciating detail. We pick through levels of plots like no one has ever done before.
So if you like Friends or just listening to people talking, which are both valid activities, do look us up on the old podcast apps and that. Friends with Friends, and we're on Twitter at FriendsWF.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Seems inappropriate, doesn't it?
Oh, considering I feel like we should be wearing
this country's going through.
Yeah, black glitter today. Black glitter. Yeah.
Not a black poppy, though. This is not a political statement, Julia.
No, of course not.
You wear your red one and you start wearing it, as is traditional, on October the 31st. the 12 days of remembrance.
Quite so.
That strictly observes. Hello!
Hiya!
And welcome to the Curse of Strictly. I'm Mark Haynes.
And I'm Julia Rayside.
And we've stopped like it just where I say both the names because that's really passive-aggressive 1980s.
It felt
Pebble
very patriarchal.
Style presenting. I was aware of it. And when it, do you know how far I've come, Julia, is when I did it, I thought, oh, this is turning into ashes in my mouth. And I feel like I've made a lot of progress.
Well done. Let's all give Mark a little clap. Well done, Mark.
I've been helped out by a very sexy nurse. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I've been away for a week on a boat in the freezing Norfolk Broads. I'm chilled out, but I'm also only just getting warm. It was very cold.
Yeah, I saw some of your photos, and I don't think I've ever seen the sky that colour outside of like disaster movies.
I know. If you want to go, you can go to my Twitter account at JN Rayside. This is my version of going viral. Over 300 people liked that video. I couldn't have been more thrilled. But yeah, the sky was an alien planet colour. It was amazing. Really cool.
Yeah. Do you want to continue the sort of Alan Partridge feel of talking about the Norfolk Broads and name the company that you booked through?
Oh, I'd love to. Waterway to have a good time with Richardson's Holidays of Stalham Staithe Boatyard.
That was much, much more Partridge than even I thought
Thank
it would
you.
Be. Well
Thank you.
Done.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So, look, hey, we're as we come to you, we are moments away from another big lockdown, a national lockdown.
We are.
That was announced just before Strictly Come Dancing.
Do they do this deliberately? Because they announced the last tightening of restrictions just before the Great British Bake Off.
Yes,
in a way that
they
segued straight into, from the announcement, into Bake Off with Matt Lucas doing a briefing dressed as Boris Johnson. So I think they plan it so that it has the least impact with like the most feel-good show directly after it.
Do you know what? I mean, that would not surprise me because there is that thing of going, yes, these are the straits we're in. And it sort of goes, but there will always be an England. Tess, take it away. And I did feel that it was very much like if you'd have gone into a film like, you know, The Road, that really depressing apocalyptic one, you would sort of go, this is bad. But I think you're right. I think, you know, these are canny political operators. And I think they are using Strictly very much.
Oh, yeah.
In the same way as Saddam Hussein did that photo shoot with that young boy.
With the scared
when all the
children.
Hostages were taken. Yeah. Strictly is very much the hostage boy.
It's now
to
an
Boris
extension.
Johnson, Saddam Hussein.
It's an extension of the government, which means we're now effectively a propaganda machine.
we're dissenters. We will be the first to be lined up and shot with an experimental vaccine.
Oh, nice. That's okay, good.
Woohoo! Good. well, I mean, what did you make of this week's show?
Well, the way it launched into it was Tess was somber. She talked about it being a tough night, but let's try and cheer you up. They are very much sticking with the heavy-handed emotional sort of mining of, you know, of the sort of the contestants' grandparents, children. It did slightly irk me this week because, especially the Claudia bit, she's supposed to be the irreverent naughty one.
Yeah,
Tess is, you know, brand strictly, and then Claudia's supposed to be an imp. And I feel like they've declawed her imp-wise, that she's not able to have quite as much fun.
De-Claudia.
She's too busy. They've de-Claudia'd Claudia. They have a bit, because her brilliance is she's kind of cheeky and naughty, and she rabbits on, and brilliant things come out of her mouth. It almost seems like without even trying, although I know she's a very skilled broadcaster. And I want her to do that. I don't want her to go, oh, tell me about your daughter. But she's clearly been sort of steered that way.
I slightly and wonder I if that's because... Really. The lack of audience. And so
maybe.
Claudia always, you know, got laughs.
She worked off the crowd,
within the studio.
Yeah.
And I wonder if more that they're sort of going, the thing is, when you say something funny, if there's no audience, then it really just hangs there
maybe.
And it sounds bizarre.
Yeah.
I mean, I did find a couple of times she said stuff that I was like, normally that would have got a really big laugh from the studio audience. And she was almost waiting for the laugh that wasn't coming.
Yes.
And then it was just a bit sort of like, is this woman... You know, if you'd never been to this country before, you would sort of go, does this woman appear on television? And she tells jokes to silence.
Yes.
And then she sort of waits there as if suddenly there might be a gale of laughter. And it did have a funny look. And it's a difficult thing to overcome that.
Yeah, very difficult.
I really felt that this week had a load of dances that felt like I was watching a dress rehearsal for a West End show.
Some of them were really nervous, weren't they? Even more
they
than
were.
Week one.
And I think, you know, if you get out there and the first move you do and the audience are just applauding and everything and they're, you know, clapping in the mid-routine and everything, your nerves disappear.
They do.
But doing it to a silent room, all you'd be able to hear is yourself and your partner breathing. You'd be like, we're two oxen struggling through the mud.
A layer of kind of showbiz has been sort of removed, hasn't it, in terms of the audience reception. And it must be harder to perform.
And the only person who's really, you know, just absolutely the same as ever is Tess.
Yeah.
Because... Tess didn't say anything that got an audience reaction at the best of times.
Well, I mean, that's not her job, to be fair. She is
the kind of glue
that holds it all together. She's just there to be the link. I know you talk her down a lot. I think it's a hard job. She's there to be kind of flawless and to make you feel like it's in safe hands, basically.
The funny bits are the bits with Claudia and sometimes the bits with the judges are the bits that COVID has affected the most.
Yes.
You know, the actual sort of test bits have not been affected.
No.
So, you know, I was going to say something mean there about, you know, like cockroaches, you know, when the Armageddon comes, they are the one thing that thrives. I'm not going to make that comparison.
That is uncalled for.
It
you know,
would
I
be
think
cruel.
She does a fine, fine job. And I know you don't think that. And that's
I think she does a fine job for Tess Daily.
Let's move on, you meanie. Anyway, the opening was sort of... trying to just as quickly as possible. They never quite get the point that they're supposed to make you forget about the shit. They're supposed to make you forget. They kind of, but I suppose there's a certain amount of public service broadcasting in there that means it does slightly feel like after the event television at times.
It does, yeah,
and
it really does.
Kind of, I want to forget. And yes, that's what I'm missing. Do you know what? I would take canned laughter. I will take tinned audience noise. I wouldn't mind just to make it feel a bit more like the old atmosphere.
Absolutely, and it is within you know, the space of a minute. You go from the sort of the lows of modern British life to, you know, the highs of British life. This is supposed to be a big celebration.
Yeah.
And when they keep on just referencing the lows because it's such a big deal.
Yeah, don't do that.
We don't need always to go, this is current and this is now, and we are aware of the news.
No.
I don't need Friends re-edited so they turn around and they sort of go, of course, you know, this was, you know, we did all these funny jokes about New York before 9/11. Maybe things would have been different. You don't need people constantly bringing the real world in.
No.
This is a dancing show.
It's fantasy. It's escapism and it's... It would just be... I'm picking at small things. I would love 5% less of the don't forget the awfulness or, oh, your mum was supposed to be here, wasn't she? But she's not, is she? Oh, come on. Can we just focus on the razzle-dazzle? We all just want that. I want to get lost in it.
Absolutely. You know, I want glitter and sequins.
Yes,
you know, I don't want Chris Whitty's grafts being projected onto the back. That's basically it. There's
the
a time and a place.
Dressed as like dancing COVID nuclei or whatever. No thanks.
I mean, that would be a bold decision. Had Jackie Smith stayed in, I think Anton would have gone, you know, it's props. It's props, so we'll do it.
Come on.
You know? Yeah. Nice to see Bruno back as well. He sort of opened it up. Clearly done at the same time as he did his little piece last week. They didn't want to book the Zoom twice, it seems. So, but again, you know, I do feel it's a shiny floor show. And I don't want to see Zoom calls on Strictly, you know.
As little as possible.
Absolutely. Just take me through the costume or something. I don't need to go to the worst room in someone's house to have them sort of go, hey, it's exactly like it always has been. Why are you sitting in your utility room, Bruno? Mm. It's not the same.
With his Miami tan and his, you know, his almost visible nipples. It's and obviously he's brought in as well on the Sunday show with the kind of the judges, and it breaks that lovely sparkly fourth wall a little bit.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you You're made me remember again.
Yeah. Hey, I'd love to be there, but I can't fly due to the pandemic. No.
Stop it.
Tweak it off. I did love on this one where the judges came in and you got Craig and Motsy and Shirley. And you think about the combined decades, if not over a century, of sort of dance experience between the three of them.
Yep.
And that has now been boiled down to them all sitting down at the same time on the final bomb.
Yes, the coordination. And they just about managed it. It was lovely. Yeah. Da, 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 da. Boo!
Boom! And down. Wonderful. Textbook sitting down on the last bomb.
And actually, that again, it's an adaptation, but it worked perfectly well. Like, it made me smile. They were smiling like, this is a bit silly, isn't it? And actually, it was, this is a good way of referencing without referencing that things have changed slightly. And I'm totally fine with that. Right, should we start with the dancing then?
Let's do it, Jules.
So
let's do it.
It began with Max and Diane. So him from The Wanted and redheaded Diane. They were doing their jive. And obviously because they're doing a jive and he's in the same band as Jay from The Wanted, they had a little Zoom call with Jay in the training room to kind of, I don't know, make him feel inferior. Here's what you'll never ever be able to replicate. This man is a machine.
No.
His jive was perfect.
It was set at a fairground, and it looked great.
Yeah,
and he came out. He's a little bit full nappy in the early bits.
I know what you mean. Yeah,
had a waddle, but then when he became sort of a bit crisper, it all moved to his face, where he was like concentrating like a monkey being shown a magic trick, really sort of puzzling away, you know. And
oh, bless him.
I've got to say, I didn't really rate this dance. It just felt like there was, maybe it was the lack of atmosphere in the room, it felt like they didn't have much chemistry at this point.
Yes, I'm surprised by that. I kind of thought, because obviously I know far too much about celebrities, and I know Max from The Wanted, some of his celebrity ex-girlfriends have sort of been Diane types. They've been sort of gorgeous, sort of either brunette, sort of dark hair, and beautiful, and particularly like they look kind of like they just automatically be a couple.
I wonder if it's because there was some, she's actually talked about tabloids you know, reporting that isn't she, and that's led to her getting death threats off
God.
I was gonna say Joe Sugg fans, but I think, you know, that's a really fair way of
violent
saying
and somewhat people, murderous, yeah,
of people who are just bananas.
Yeah, they are just bananas, Mark.
The banana people have been threatening her, not the Joe Sugg fans. And I mean, look, you know, I don't want to sort of look into it and go, well, that's the reason, oh gosh, but they certainly didn't have chemistry. They were both holding back a bit, almost like they wanted to make it clear that they were
do you think
professionals and they were
just,
I don't know,
there
was just, it lacked a lot of heart.
I guess
this is the first one that I really found was like a dress rehearsal.
Yes,
it felt like they were going to turn it up on the day, but
I
they
think
didn't.
You're right, there was something in his face. I mean, again, we must remember week two, there were a lot of week two dances this week, as in they looked, you know, so last week there's that weird thing where the world's turned on its head and someone comes out and gives a final show dance performance for their very first dance, and that's all wrong, and that confuses me. But this week there were a lot of people looking very unsteady and very unsure. I don't know, maybe before the start they were told we might not be starting on time, and it gave them all sort of overbalanced some of them, because you're built up to go out into the dance floor and they're scared witless. And
I think you're right. I mean, I presume as well, I mean, obviously week one you are having, I think, 2 weeks of, you know, taking it. So you are working very, very hard. And I think that adrenaline dump after that first one, that you're then like, I've got to do it again.
Right, exactly.
Oh, geez, it's probably, and you know, if you're Max George, you're going, well, I'm not going to go out. You know, I've got my Jackie Smith you know, wave breaker
you
there.
You can tell. And, you must be able to tell there exactly. are definitely some people underneath you keeping you from the bottom, yeah.
Yeah, he again, I mean, just everything he says is the most Mancunian way of saying it. So he said he had to say repeat, repeat, repeat. And he went, repeat, repeat, repeat. And I cannot get over how Mancunian he is. I sort of love it. You don't see, with this one, I mean Nicola Adams with her beautiful Leeds accent, which I love beyond belief. Yep. I love hearing people from around the world. It's just that he's lived in London since he was 17.
The world.
has he not? Well, Leeds, Manchester and London are the world,
yeah, that's
Julia.
It,
anywhere
that's it.
Anywhere else is a province. And I can't believe that he's never met anyone else from London. He must just sit in his house talking into a mirror or something. But it's just old fashioned, he said at one point as well.
I think he's clearly just got a very strong sense of self, and he doesn't easily, you know, pick up other people's accents. The opposite of me, I go to Scotland and I have to stop myself from starting to seep into Scottish accent. I've never lived there. My dad's from there, but I'm not from there. I've nearly gotten his punch so many times.
I'll tell you a quick story just about that, which you might like. I was once in a fancy bar and I sat outside and the actress Rachel Sterling was talking to the playwright Tom Stoppard.
Whoa.
I was earwigging because I was having a fag. It's absolutely fine. And she was saying, when was the last time you saw Mummy? And that was Dame Diana Rigg.
Dame Diana Rigg.
And he said, well, it's been far too long, far too long. And she said, you really must come down and see her in France. And he went, where about in France is she? And Rachel Sterling said, she's in the Dordogne. And ever since I've heard that, I've thought, every time I pronounce like a foreign place or a regional place, I am going to think of Rachel Sterling and I am going to do it in the local vernacular. So, for example, you might go to Edinburgh. I go to Edinburgh. It just shows how cultured
Paris.
I am.
No, it's true. It's
Milton Keynes.
My husband always called that the bit in literary novels that they put in italics. So it's they're in Spain and they're ordering some local food. they can't order patatas bravas. It's patatas. You don't have to say it like that. It's fine. People understand that you're just speaking
it's
in a foreign,
like chorizo when people say chorizo wrongly, and it is wrong.
Oh, we have to come on to Anton later and how he's the only person who pronounces samba.
I did notice that.
And it was
very
like that distance, like he couldn't hear or he didn't want to hear other people in the same room in the same sentence going, yeah, the samba was quite hard, the samba is quite hard. Yeah, it's like you've got to start doing that.
Sometimes if the hearing aid batteries are wearing down, they can sort of speed up. And the judges were really, really keen on this. I mean, Shirley said it showed great confidence. Craig said the energy and timing was absolutely spectacular.
Good. He was
good. Yeah, it was fine. I just didn't feel it.
But
I think,
he didn't
retract
that famous thing with the jive, didn't pull his leg back from the flicks and kicks. And also, I really enjoy Craig telling somebody else to be lighter on their feet. That's always a pleasure.
You saw the way I sat down on the final bomb.
Think about that next time.
Yeah. He got a better score than last week, and I didn't think this was a better dance than last week.
Yeah, no,
honest,
I don't think so either. He got a 6 and 2 sevens.
Yeah. Yeah, again, when you're going in first, you have nothing to compare that with. It's only afterwards that I think that did feel quite like a fair score for this week.
Yeah.
He's obviously going to be in for a while unless he makes a big change. I think, he isn't going to make the final.
No, I know. I don't think he'll make the final. He'll probably go out a couple of weeks before, but I think he'll get better. I think because the fact that he could keep up timing-wise shows that there's potential there. I think it's the dancerly stuff, the kind of the extra bits your body needs to do, which a normal untrained dancer's body can't do without real effort, might come in time if he's doing this day in, day out, which he is. So, wait and see. Yes, they're not my favourite couple to watch, but it was a cute jive. But yes.
And do you know what? I really like him. I think he's one of those guys who, when he comes in, you're just like, you know, here he comes. It's cheekbones. You know, that's all it is.
Yeah.
And I think, as the weeks have gone on, I sort of go, I like him. I do like him.
He's a sweetheart,
He is, and he seems genuine, and he seems sweet, and he seems, a little bit sort of stupid, which I like, you know.
You like them a bit stupid, don't you? Yeah.
Oh, I do. Julia, I need to be the cleverest man in the room, so I need to find people who are actually quite stupid.
Wait a minute, I'm doing a podcast with you.
Well, you'll notice we're in separate rooms. It's nothing to do with COVID.
Okay, good.
After that, they were back to doing the celebrity giving out the number and then reading out the T&Cs.
No.
I mean, Gordon Ramsay doing it.
The most charmless man in showbiz. I hesitate to use the word showbiz with him, but
yeah. I certainly felt like until I saw him on Strictly Come Dancing, I hadn't thought, God, isn't he yesterday's man?
Oh yeah.
And then by having him back in that like main role, he was like back, you know, back on the Beeb, first person called.
Yeah.
I really sort of thought, oh. You might as well have had James Robertson Justice doing it.
He's some such a throwback, yeah.
Actor, yeah, or Fanny Craddock's husband, that sort of thing.
Johnny. Just,
Johnny Craddock. Although that would have been genuinely amusing. He would have done more than, you know, just read out what the T's and C's are and look pleased with himself.
Yeah.
Again, you know, it's part of the Zoom COVID world, isn't it?
Yeah.
It just feels like, you know, someone's asked for that 2 days before. Can you send it in? You know, it just... I just don't think it's necessary.
It's a bit of a shame. Unless they, I mean, obviously the people that have done it really brilliantly in the studio have been people like Tom Allen, that brilliant comedian, or someone who's kind of in the spirit of the show and a little bit also taking the piss. But don't just get some rando bossy chef guy and say, oh, someone who's bossy. It's like, I don't care. He doesn't,
also,
he's not the spirit of the show.
No, and people who, if you said, would you do it? He'd say, oh, absolutely no way, bollocks to that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they will have asked him again and again and again, and he will have refused. You've got 18 series worth. Well, that is at least 200 people who have done this show. Why they don't just, you know, go from series six, bring them back and then just have, you know, guys, T's and C's are... They always talk about the Strictly Come Dancing family, but it's a family that exists for only 4 months before they entirely...
Yes.
Drop them all and have no interest in them ever again. You know?
No, it's true. It's true. I think it's a lot chillier behind the scenes than it seems to be on camera. But that's just, again, that's TV, that's showbiz. Everyone's on a contract. Everyone's got to adhere to the letter of that and stuff. It's probably they're not as much. I think the dancers all do seem to really love and support each other, but that's because they are in the same boat. I think they're all, you know,
huddled together.
Yeah,
for warmth.
Absolutely. So next up, I really love this one. This is, again, Clara. I love watching her. I love watching the two of them, actually. They're a great couple. But I just think she's, I don't know. I didn't expect her to be good at ballroom straight away because she always talked about liking Latin more. She talked about it last night as well. But I think her body just seems to be able to do anything. I just lovely to watch. They did a Viennese waltz. She did, although it was a very kind of sexy Halloween-y, Paso-y Viennese waltz. She was in a kind of basically a bra and an underskirt, if you please, which I thought was shocking.
I did please.
She did. I mean, she did look very nice, and my husband remarked she did too. So it was there was lots of Paso-y. It was an angry Viennese waltz, if that's all it was possible.
Yeah,
They were kind of at this sort of Halloween-y dinner table. She was doing the sort of the roaring faces, those brilliant angry Paso faces that you're supposed to. But I loved the whole mashup of the two styles. It really worked for me.
Yeah, I thought it was unfortunately timed that you had this sort of great big rotting Christmas dinner at an empty table with all the cobwebs over that. That seemed like a bad bit of luck.
Yeah,
I thought for her, you know, one of the saddest moments was that of course she had a tiny bit of her dress
Had
sort of unfurled and it caught in her heel, and the bit where the penny dropped for her that. Her heel was suddenly caught.
Yeah.
Was just as she was doing a sort of face to camera and stride in sassily. And you could see the moment where she was like, something's gone wrong. She held it together brilliantly.
I think she held it together really well.
That snag annoyingly sort of would come off and then go back on.
Yeah.
And so she had that horrible thing of not going, this is what I've got to deal with, but continually going, oh, thank goodness that's over. Oh, it's back.
No, I know. From then on, it did become a little bit scrappier, understandably, because then it was sort of like destabilising. Mm. And she was trying to avoid, you know, going arse over tit.
You could see how well she started off versus that bit where something had gone a little bit wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
And that, of course, is the last thing you need is your confidence being shaken in the middle of, you know, doing your second dance.
Yeah.
I thought she was really, really good. Tess said, beautiful, beautiful, and quite spooky. which is essentially describes my ideal woman.
She's beautiful and quite spooky.
Yeah, but she carried on really, really well. And again, that's one of the things that I don't think anyone picked up on. I think Shirley may have done, actually. But it wasn't just a good dance, but it was a dance under adversity. And she entirely coped with that.
Yeah.
And that sort of slightly suggests that you're far more sort of experienced as a dancer than the sum of the number of weeks you spent doing it.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really, really good sign.
Experience as a performer, definitely. The judges liked it. They said the drama and the choreography was really good. Mark-wise, they're still being a bit hard on her, but I do think they're just giving her lots of room to go from.
Because I agree.
They are not as... The marks don't really reflect where she's at all, I don't think. And they didn't last either. 5 and 2 sixes was, I mean, really not what I was watching again.
I agree. I mean, that was one mark across the board lower than Max and Diane.
Yeah.
I can't believe it was, 3 points worse, if you like, than that. She got 17, and 17 does seem like a very, very low score for the dance that happened there. I'm surprised in week two they weren't like, you know, we could see... exactly what this dance would have been, and we can see that you coped with something really difficult.
Yeah, I just don't feel that they're treating her like every other contestant, but I don't mean they're victimising her. I just mean when you look at the quality of the movement her body is already capable of 2-3 weeks into training.
Yeah.
Why can't they be more encouraging? Like, she's phenomenally brilliant, full of potential. They're talking to Jamie Lang, whatever he's called. Like, they tell him, oh, you've clearly got potential. Why aren't they saying that to her? He doesn't have potential.
Exactly.
He's bum stuck out like a duck and he's all stiff. She's dancing. He's just like trying to force the moves through his limbs.
But you've got exactly the right word, which is encouragement. And encouragement is a thing that they are probably sort of going, she'll have a good week. But again, if you don't have a thing where someone says you are going to be sensational, and I'm going to reflect that by going 7, I loved what you were doing. You are going to put in that big sort of inky blot of doubt, and that is something that's going to be very, very hard for her to sort of deal
really
with and then progress from.
She's a lot better than the marks that they're dishing out to her, but hopefully they'll start to see that.
My mate bought a toaster. We go through celebrities' Amazon purchase histories so you don't have to. Keep calm and love Dom Jolly novelty keyring and fridge magnets.
Yeah, I love that.
The G-spot.
The good vibrations, guys.
Green dot laser sight rifle gun scope.
I bought that quite a lot of times, I think.
Right, okay. The sex doctor's guide to keeping it hot.
Interesting.
Did another child come along 9 months later?
Yeah.
Loads of great apps up now, and new ones dropping every Monday. That's My Mate Bought a Toaster from Great Big Al.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at UH1.com.
Next up, this was my predictably my dance of the episode. I absolutely adored this. So Bill and Oti did a quick step to talk to the animals from Dr. Dolittle. Obviously, that meant they did go crackers with the CGI.
It went animal crackers.
Really shit crocodile that was like floating in midair.
Julia, you say it's shit, but actually, that is absolutely 1986's cutting edge CGI. So it's not. I mean, my favourite bit was where the big elephant came in, and I desperately wanted no one to mention the elephant in the room. I thought that would be really funny, but Tess did sort of go, big elephant.
Because she says what she's, even though she couldn't actually see it.
Tess is also CGI.
I mean,
you know, you said you loved this. I hated it.
No, what's wrong with you?
Of course not.
You
I just
monster.
Wanted to get a reaction. It was fantastic. Do you know what? Again, that thing of, it's so, when you get the right song, the right presentation for a particular dancer, that is doing so much of the heavy lifting.
Yep.
And then everything the dancing does is just cherry after cherry after cherry on top. But Bill Bailey it was an odd thing I noticed, you know, because you think of him as being a comic and you think of him as being quite sort of rotund. And he's sort of got a fat man's head, but then his body is like a really fit young man's body.
Yeah, I think he's one of
shocking
people,
when you see
like
it.
I said, the face always stays the same. I think, God, we're body shaming Bill Bailey. I think in his younger days, he was a bit of a tubber. I seem to remember, like, you know, old Buzzcocks and stuff. He was, but he clearly at some point has just lost a lot of weight.
He looks like a 16-year-old Soviet gymnast.
Yeah, he moves around the same head, really, really nimbly, and he's not. You think of him as like, oh, that's the kind of slightly hefty. He's a really lithe, wiry kind of.
Absolutely.
Fast little pair of legs going there, like mover. He's a great mover.
It was magic.
And
it was
I loved Otie saying she'd obviously done, because it was a very, you know, I think they do this a lot with Quick Steps. You've got to keep your frame while your legs are going hell for leather. So they put them in basically a crucifix to kind of keep the wooden frame to make them keep that head up, shoulders down. And he, honestly, I mean, it looked, I think even after the dance finished, he couldn't quite stop doing it. Because he was still so well behaved. When they were saying, well done, that was great, he was like, thank you. And he could barely move his head because he was trying to maintain his frame. But
I read an interview.
Him in a beautiful shape.
Yeah, and I read an interview with Helena Bonham Carter, and she was talking about her life in sort of period drama.
Oh, yeah, it was a really good interview. Hadley Freeman,
Hadley Freeman in The Guardian. And she said there was one of the great things about being in period costume is that it really sorts out your posture.
Totally.
And you could see that with Bill Bailey, that he was suddenly this sort of live. I mean, if I was a West End producer, I have just seen what I'm going to spend the next year putting together, which is...
Oh, hell yes.
My Fair Lady with Otie and Bill Bailey. I know it's a big seller. I know they can do it. I'm basically just printing money hand
over
fist.
Yeah, I'll buy a ticket, easy peasy.
Apart from the fact that I've had a bad previous 2 years where my theatre has been dark. apart from that, it's fine.
Don't cry for Cameron McIntosh. He's fine.
Yeah, but I mean, look, it was everything that Strictly Come Dancing is about. It was just brill. It's having someone that... You know, I mean, the judges were like, Craig said, absolutely fantastic.
Dr. Do now, a lot. Never mind Dr. Do little. That was great.
Everyone was a bit like, you know, where did this come from?
Because
last week they couldn't see it at all. The people watching Strictly and people on Twitter, they could all see.
Yeah.
This wasn't a surprise. It was a delight.
It was.
But it wasn't a surprise. To the judges, they were a bit like, you know, well, you know, that's come out of nowhere. What were they watching last week?
I don't know. He was great last week, but maybe his technique for the Latin wasn't as naturally there and available to him as it was for this. But yeah, Craig absolutely loved it. Craig said it was amazing, and the look on Bill's face when he said that, I think they went to Craig first, was just sort of, so what did he say? Are we not supposed to be here? Is it somebody else? It was amazing. Shirley said that he had kind of a central line that was like worthy of week 9, never mind week 2. She said she wanted to kiss
you. I want to cry.
She said,
I want to hug you.
That put my back up a bit. That got me a bit cross because I liked him first, so she can just... Go and pant over the young men again, Shirley, with your hormones. I've Bill Bailey's mine. So she wants to kiss him. Motsy said that his intentions were really clear and it was really crisp. And the marks, I wasn't expecting them to go as high as they did. And they were in unison. They all gave him 8.
They did, yeah. And of course, if Craig gives an 8, I would expect the other two to give a 9. I think they were so surprised and so anxious that they couldn't give a 9 if Craig had given a 7.
No.
That they held it back a bit. But
again,
24...
that's a great week 2 score. Absolutely amazing.
It really is. But I mean, I think more importantly than that, what he's done is he's absolutely marked, like a great performer does, he has marked out his role in this. And his role in this is the absolute heart and soul, you know, of the series.
Yep.
That he is... He is representing, you know, just everyone who is a little bit older, who isn't a pop star, you know, who hasn't been wanting to do this all their life. And he's brought that brilliant thing in Strictly, which is the element of surprise.
Yeah.
And even better than that, he's brought it from week 1. And I think, you know, he's surprisingly good. He is, dances like this, just fantastic. I mean,
I
could watch that again and again and again.
I probably will watch that one more than once, actually. I just, it was really strange after they kind of went up to Claudia. He was still kind of, you know, sort of straight back and sort of arms behind. I think he had his hands behind his back and he looked like he was sort of, you know, in a receiving line at a funeral or something. It took him a few, I think Claudia said something and then he finally sort of started dancing around and going, oh, it was really good, it was really good. I thought, you're allowed to enjoy this. I don't know why you're still being so well behaved. Like, go on, everyone thinks you're great. Like, kick back a bit, enjoy the moment.
Again, though, I mean, that's absolutely why he's so good, is that those bits, he always gives you extra. He doesn't just go, yeah, it was brilliant, I really enjoyed it.
He entertains.
He will give you a laugh. And, you know, I mean, you know, base on the basis of that, you know, he is not going to go out for a good,
Don't say that, because we mustn't jinx it. Like, my sanity during this next bleakness period is depends upon Bill still being on the telly. Even if he goes out, he's not going out. He needs to still come and dance every week, or I will cry.
Yeah. There was a nice bit as well where he brought his cockatiels in to see
in the dance thing.
I mean, I am not a huge fan of birds.
Jacob,
I mean,
and
they
Molly.
Are... Jacob and Molly, they're sort of dirty and they have no sort of bowel control.
And their beaks are terrifying.
Yeah, I mean, they do have bowel control. They choose not to use it. But there was a little brief bit of Otie with her head next to one of the cockatiels.
Yes,
and
I just
thought, looks like a 1980s single cover for like Brian Ferry or something. It was a proper sort of beautiful image. I'm probably going to stick that image on this podcast.
I think you should.
You'll
just
see that when you download it.
Yeah, Molly. It was just lovely.
Yeah. Just beautiful.
Go on,
yeah,
then. Who's
dance
next?
Number four, JJ Chalmers and Amy with their Paso Doble.
Ah, yes. So he did the thing that I knew would annoy you instantaneously, which was go on about how much he's in pain, just as a natural matter of course every day. Did that annoy you?
I live with pain all the time, and I'm not going to let this thing defeat me.
But he was blown up!
I know, and now he's dancing, and they are two very different things.
I think one is affected by the other, though, to be fair to him.
It is, but we, you know, I mean, even the opening for this, I said last week he danced and made his whole family proud.
Unlike the other contestants whose families are all ashamed of
him. Bill Bailey's family write in and say, you have to scrap the line about us being proud, because we weren't, we were disgusted, you know. No, there is a real, you know, just a decision that's been made to manipulate your feelings towards him in a way that I actually
find
is...
That's not his fault.
It's gross. It isn't his fault. No. And I'm going to say a couple of things about him here. Oh. One is, you are absolutely right about his acting. He is really, really good at the acting phase. I mean, to the point that I actually, you know, I was actually like, that is good, you know.
Oh, well
and
done.
I'd never really noticed before how important that face is. In really sort of, you know, you could be talking about 30% of what a dance is. You can actually just convey through
especially
your face.
Especially in something like the Paso, when there is a lot of... It's supposed to be an argument, isn't it? That's the thing they always say. It's got to be angry. It's got to be impassioned. You can't just have a neutral expression.
Yeah, and he was doing that like better than anybody else on this show.
He looked so angry.
He did.
And I assumed
my
it was because
said,
his shoulder
bit
really
too
hurt.
Angry.
No, he was too angry.
she,
I thought maybe
she
he
said
was just
it's
in
not
pain.
Like romantic angry. It's just like real fury, like, you know, it wasn't sexy anger. It was just like white hot.
Like
always
turned a bit nasty.
I know. Please get him out of here. I'm going to come back and I'm going. Oh God! Oh God! I also thought with his scores, which were 5 and 2 sixes, I thought he was undermarked. Really harshly, because I didn't mind this one. That's all I'm going to concede at this stage.
Wow,
I didn't mind it. He had difficulty with the steps at the start. There was a little bit of timing issues.
He started out of time. Yeah,
I didn't really mind that. Again, it leans towards for me a bit of avant-garde and experimental. And when they're doing something like a Paso Doble, I do like the idea of you are sort of deconstructing it. And I know that wasn't the intention, but I did sort of find myself going, I really enjoyed that. Amy was dressed as a sort of vampire bride.
From the future.
Well, if Dracula had got Sporty Spice at the height of her powers.
Yeah, she had like a trousers and skirty cape thing combination.
And sort of like shell suit elements
it
to
it.
It was weird. But yeah, I mean, look. I've said this before, JJ Chalmers seems like a really nice guy. He has been through an unimaginable time. He is working his socks off, and I quite enjoyed this dance. I just hate the narrative around him. I also find it unpalatable, because what you're being asked to do is show pity. And I don't... He doesn't need
no,
pity.
No, he definitely doesn't.
He's a professional guy. He is chucking his heart and soul into this. I don't need my heartstrings plucked. Because it's not like he comes out and rolls around on the floor and we have to pretend that it's the same as everyone else. He is doing a dance at a level that I couldn't do.
Yeah,
that
in the
most
same
people
way,
couldn't do.
His partner did an amazing documentary. We talked about it last week about how she's, you know, Crohn's disease. It's painful, debilitating. It's really hard to live with, let alone be a top flight professional dancer with. Mm. But they don't bring that up every week because they don't need to, because she's just shit hot at what she does.
It's 100% the thing that I think, you know, we've all grown up with as a generation, which is that it's about the person, not the disability, even really the circumstances.
It is the production. They're hitting a bum note with all of this heartstring stuff.
Yeah,
I would like to see them just
I mean, it seems to me like needed. A decision. It seems it, to me like a decision feels, that's made, like made by someone who is either 18 or 65.
Who doesn't understand
and nothing
the
in between.
Natural warmth of this show bubbles up like lava. You don't have to forcefully lay it on the top. It's totally fine. The warmth is there. Just let it happen. I liked this passo, but I thought the marks, they're probably a bit harsh. But just, I think because you were so focused on his brilliant facial acting, the power in his body just wasn't there at all. He's very tall and lanky, and it didn't have the force and those is it they call them the heel leads, the kind of, you have to look like you're in charge. It's very, again, it's very hard dance for a man to do on week two, because you don't have that physical confidence yet. He's still quite careful and placed, and what he needed to do was throw her around the dance floor, and it's incredibly hard to do that.
Yeah,
when you've been
and I think what you're seeing as well for the first time here in a way that you didn't see last week is you are seeing the physical limitations that he has got. They showed him, you know, using the Matador's cape, and that being something that his other arm he would not
and
be able to do.
Actually, he did that really
with.
Well. Yeah, yeah.
And I think, you know, what you are seeing in this one is you're beginning to see that the wall he is going to come up against. I am warming to him. I really am.
You are.
I really am. And I will warm to him so long as I am not told I have to warm to him.
I think you might be out of luck there, friend. I just want to say before we move on to the next dance is, you know, I've always had always enjoyed watching Tess running to get back to the dance floor for the results at the end of the results show. This time now, I noticed at the end of JJ and Amy's dance, I think she handed back upstairs to Claudia, or there was some threw off to the next VT, and you could just see her running off. Like, I'm sure it's to go and just get a quick fag in. I don't know if she smoked, but she always looks like someone who's like, I've just got time to, if I just dash now.
Yeah.
It wasn't far enough into the show to go for a waz. It must be a cigarette.
straight on her phone, she puts on the camera thing in their house to make sure Vernon Kay is where he says he's going to be.
Has he done the washing up yet? Vernon! I don't know what it is, but it's very funny. She runs. I have no idea why. She's not got anywhere else to be. She's back where she was again for the next shot.
That's
it's very
funny.
Confusing. Anyway, next up, Jamie and Karen, who I don't know.
Jimmy
if you,
the Mickey!
I don't know if you saw Jimmy Biscuits and Karen on It Takes Two last week, especially the Friday show.
I didn't
know. So Gethin, your bugbear, Gethin, he goes to the studio on a Friday just to see how the dress rehearsal's going. And Jamie and Karen were kind of there next to each other, just clearly not looking like they like each other at all. And she was kind of,
100%.
She was doing that thing where she was being cheerful, but she wasn't really finding anything nice to say about him, which I agree with, by the way. There is nothing nice to say about him. And he, at one point, you know, the mask slightly slipped and he got angry and just said, look, I've never danced before. I just thought, oh, you don't like it, do you? I imagine in training, he's just like giving all the charm, making all the jokes to cover the fact that he can't be bothered to bloody dance because he's never had to work a day in his life. And she isn't being won over by it. And he's furious.
Yeah.
Like, why don't you love me?
You can 100% see that when they're together.
Yeah.
She is not at all interested
She's so pissed off she got him.
They are not warm to one another at all.
No.
I mean, you know, you cannot blame her at all.
I feel really sorry for her.
I mean, he took her out on a thing in their little VT where they went to Greenwich Observatory at night.
Oh, yeah.
And that, for me, I mean, that is a pretty sort of desolate, like, you know, isolated place. And I think for her, you could see her sort of like, you know, I bet she had a pocket knife in there just thinking, you know,
a taser
constantly having to ring up the production crew and say, right, I've rung this number, who am I speaking to, and them going, it is the Strictly offices, and she'll go, right, I need you to confirm with me, have we got a shoot, and they go yes, and she go, what's your name, having to work out that the number isn't being rerouted and there's not
mobile.
Other
He's
people
doing a
working
voice.
On it. Yeah. I mean, oh, man. Yeah, so she's looking through this great big telescope and up at the moon and everything. I imagine I know where his eyes were when she was doing that.
There are some celebrities, naming no names. You and I both know people who know people and whatever. And sometimes you hear through the grapevine, oh, actually, that celebrity was really hoping the curse of Strictly would hit them because they were just a bit bored and they fancied a bit of fun with somebody sexy.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that that's true of Jamie, but I can imagine a scenario whereby he thought, finally, he's waited a year. The guy was keen. He's waited a year. And he was hoping to get one of the slightly more pliable, you know, agreeable dancers, somebody who's just up for a bit of fun. Karen just wants to get the dancing done. And I think he's really furious that he's not having the experience that he wants, which is basically not much hard work and a lot of extracurricular.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, if you are...
And that's just my opinion, and there's no fact there.
Your currency in something like Made in Chelsea is you know, it's always slightly on a knife edge. I mean, he is now, what, 58 or whatever
he must be knocking on to, still, pushing 60, I'd say.
Yeah, you know, still trying to offer debutante sweets and things like that, you know. It's all gross. And you would be sort of going, maybe this is the thing that will lift me into a new realm.
Yeah, I can change up my career. Now. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And his career
that.
Up until this point, let's face it, has been having relationships with a camera nearby. That's been his that's his job. Which is sort of prostitution if you think about it.
if you decide you want to shout that at him in the street.
Yes.
Look, this dance, I mean, it's not the dance we wanted. You know, maybe it was the dance the nation needed.
I wanted it to be a lot worse.
I know, so same here. When he was saying, I'm scared I'm going to go out in week two, I was thinking, I'm not scared. I'd be over the moon. Yeah. That would be... Well, we had lockdown, but Jimmy Biscuit went home, you know. he very naturally wears tails and a dinner jacket.
Yeah,
you know,
he
probably
does.
Probably that to him is a bit like, you know, a tracksuit is to you
he
and I
like
on a Sunday
the natural
afternoon.
Bullingdon Club fit, didn't he? He came down on a glittery moon from the ceiling. It was an American smooth, so the full Fred and Ginger bit. His hold was, even I could see, because one of them, I think it was Craig, someone talked about later on, the martini glass. So you're both like joined at the hip and leaning way, way out to make that sort of V shape. His bum was stuck out. He was all stiff.
Yeah.
He looked rubbish in the hold bits, but the kind of yada-da-da Fred Astaire bits, he managed to just about make the shapes and it looked good.
And he also, I mean, what he brought to it, I felt, was he actually made it look fairly effortless, like this was natural. And
I didn't think so at all.
I got the absolute furious
concentration in his face, like, I'm not going to fucking go out. And he doesn't care about the dancing. He just doesn't want to have gone out in week two. That's all
100%.
He cared about.
And yeah, he wasn't breathing through the whole of this routine. He absolutely held his breath. But there were bits where he was throwing his arms out that I was like, this is, you know, this is chalk and cheese from last week. And I thought he made it look really elegant.
Just those
in
bits.
Places.
Just those bits. Yeah. Yeah.
In of course, what
he
that does.
Desperate.
Oh, yeah. I mean, those bits. I mean, it was a dance of two halves, very much so. I think Craig said the ballroom bit was really bad. So he said difficult, but brilliant, some of it. And flashes of brilliance to some degree, even when things are bad around them, those flashes of brilliance, somehow it makes it more exciting. You
well,
know,
I
it's,
suppose
it's
so.
Like a, you know, a diamond in the, you know, in the mud, isn't it, really? You're, all this rubbish mud and then there's
You're
a diamond.
You're looking for the good bits, yeah.
If everything is the same, then it's just, you know, well, it's just nice formica.
It's true.
I don't know.
It's true.
That was an analogy I'd not thought of until I'd already embarked on it.
I know. Again, I mean, he still doesn't look very natural out there. But he definitely did make progress from week one. No one could say he didn't. But that was just, he clearly tried this week, where last week I think he thought he'd just kind of charisma his way through it and be
fine. Completely.
This week
and
grudgingly took some instruction, I think. So
I think he was terribly, terribly frightened of going out week one after last week.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that just being that thing of, you know, every time he goes into some awful, whatever the posh equivalent of a walkabout is.
Yeah.
And everyone going, oh, here he is. Oh, you leaving early, mate? Everyone slapping each other on the back.
It would have killed him to have that reaction. I think he was visibly angry with the scores. He got a 5 from Craig and 2 6s from Motson Jolly. Also, they showed him a message from his mum to which he barely reacted at all. Like, nothing.
Well, yeah, I mean, I did like the fact that his mum is like, this is Jamie's special thing that Jamie is doing. I'm going to be on BBC One.
Yeah.
And I'm going to really finish it by saying, Jamie, I prefer the dog. Here's the doggy. Here's my little doggy
because
on the telly.
Clearly there's something
Mummy's
not right
best.
There. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, you know, again, it's posh people and their slight inability to be genuine and loving.
Show
and they have
emotion
to undercut it with something.
Yes.
And the dog, of course, is a surrogate, isn't it? It's
Naturally.
Going... Mummy does have love, and if you look at the doggy, you could imagine what it would be like if Mummy loved you.
I think it went some way to explaining perhaps why Jamie might be the psychopath that he actually is. It did. It at least pleased me to see that he was very angry with the scores. That was one small bit of pleasure I could gain from this section.
Problem
of the show.
Is, Julia, that might mean that he starts working hard to prove them wrong next week, and before you know it, it's week 8. And he's top of the leaderboard.
We want him complacent. That's when he's most vulnerable, isn't he?
Exactly. They should have given him 3 tens.
They should have done. Damn it. God, I wish they'd thought of
that. If anything, I thought you worked a bit too hard. That could cost you. I wouldn't bother training 3 days next
week.
Yeah,
I'd put your feet up. You're grand. Yeah. You've got this, mate.
And Karen, you're only to do it by Zoom. You're not to be in the room.
please.
GreatBigOwl.com.
All of television history is contained within the Box of Delights.
It was happening in front of us.
Incredible.
In our living rooms. It was amazing.
Guests pick their favourite television moment
and tell us why they love it.
And is this the episode where Daisy's just been for the interview at the Woman's Magazine?
Flaps.
That's it, Flaps.
Yeah.
Named one of Radio Times' best podcasts of the year.
I don't understand people who don't see the joy in drawing the curtains, a mug of hot chocolate and something nice on TV. Like, what could be nicer than that?
Than having a snuggle.
Exactly.
Nostalgia in bite-sized chunks.
Box of Delights
from Great Big Owl.